Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all your blessings. And I pray, Lord, that as we start this new year, that we would be so focused upon you. We would truly be able to let the past be in the past, and that our eyes would look unto you and what you're going to do with us in this new year. How you're going to change and transform us. How we can serve you and worship you each and every day. Thank you so much for the comfort that you bring, the peace that you bring. And may you guide each and every one of us throughout this whole year. And we pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 2. And the title of the message today is Our Deliverer Has Come. And we were driving home from my mom's Christmas, and Hayden was in the back seat and hooked to Bluetooth or plugged in, I don't know. But he was playing Christmas music for us, so me and Crystal was just making requests, and he was playing whatever we said. But one of my favorite Christmas songs is Mary, Did You Know? And I love that song. It's one of my favorites, and I like Kenny Rogers singing it. That's one of the best versions of it. And so he played that, and driving home, it was Christmas Eve. Come from my mom's Christmas. He's playing this song, and I swear it was like the Lord filled that car in my heart. Just listening to different songs and things, and just really understanding what Christmas is about. Now Christmas is over, and we're beginning a new year, and so this really isn't a Christmas message, but that's where we're going to begin in Luke 2, verse 25. And it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. When I look up consolation, just to be sure of what exactly consolation means, well, the Thayer says it's a calling near, and the Greek says solace or comfort. And so you look at the consolation of Israel, so the comforter was coming, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. So his eyes had seen the salvation. So when I looked up that particular salvation, it's the Greek 49:22, and it says defender or defense for the definition there. But it comes from 49:9:1, and that's rescue, safety, physically or spiritually, a deliverer. And so basically what is being said here is our comforter, our deliverer, our salvation has been born. Do we really understand that that's what Christmas was all about, is that our deliverer was born? And so often we get caught up in everything going on in the world, and we forget our deliverer has come. Mary, one of the lines in Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that the child you delivered will soon deliver you? And that's what so got me, is that baby that Mary had delivered would soon deliver her and me and you and anyone else who would put our trust in Jesus Christ. You jump over a couple chapters to Luke 4:14. And it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. You guys want to be like Jesus? You're here this morning. You're being like Jesus. It was as his custom to go to the synagogue. So you got a good start going for the new year, being like Jesus. You're here with us this morning. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, something that he said there, recovery of sight to the blind. I believe that that was physically, and I believe that that was spiritually also. How many people are walking around even today blind? Blind in their beliefs, blind in what they think. Maybe they're not physically blind, but you talk to somebody a few minutes and you can see how many people are messed up spiritually, that Satan has blinded them to the truth, and God's word is truth. And then it freedom for the prisoners. Well, most of you here this morning, you might say, well, I've never been in prison. I'm not really bound by anything. And some of you might be deep down in your heart saying, well, this doesn't even apply to me. Why do I need a deliverer? I'm not really a slave. I live in America and I've never been in prison. But what he's talking about here is I believe it's a different kind of prison. Romans 6:16 says, "Don't you know that when you offer your bodies to someone to obey him as a slave, you are a slave to the one whom you obey, whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." How many of us today would say, well, what are we offering our bodies to? What are we really offering our bodies to? Some of us, it's way too much food. Some of it's, you know, it's the popularity of social media. Some of us, it's lustful desires, whether it's for physical things and the nicest of the nice, or in a physical nature and sleeping around and trying to pick up women or trying to pick up guys. There's so many things that we could be enslaved to, but it's what we're offering our bodies to. What I believe is one of the biggest things that Americans today are offering their body to is pleasure and entertainment. We want to be entertained all the time. We won't put down our phones. We won't turn off our televisions. We constantly want that entertainment and that need of entertainment. When I look at my phone, it gives an update at the end of the week. I think it's got to be lying. There's no way I'm on my phone that much, you know. And it says, and it'll say my screen time was down when I'm really trying by like 11%. But then when I look and it says that I've still been on my phone like 5 hours a day for my average, and I'm like, there's no way I'm on my phone for 5 hours a day. So I'm convinced that it's when it's unlocked that it's counting that time. I'm lying to myself probably in saying that, but I drive down the road every day out delivering, and probably 80% of the vehicles that I pass, people got their phone while they're driving. There was a lady I knew several years ago said she got a ticket for being on her phone. I thought, well, that kind of stinks. She's like, yeah, I was watching YouTube while she's driving. Why are we enslaved to these devices that we hold in our hands? We're enslaved to the television. We're enslaved to entertainment. Maybe you've been set free from so many other things, but I want you to really get down deep and say, what am I enslaved to today? Maybe I hadn't mentioned it. Maybe it's something secret that only you know, that nobody else knows about. I've had those struggles before that nobody knows about, and it's something in my mind, it's something in my heart that keeps pulling me back and pulling me back, and I think, why am I so bound to that? In John chapter 8, verse 31, if you guys want to flip there. It said, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Y'all, I could have probably preached the whole sermon on just these few verses here. If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. How many of us are examining God's Word and applying it to our life? Not just examining, not just hearing a good sermon, but holding on to what He says. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, so many of us are bound up, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm talking about me too. I get bound up in things of the world. Why? Because I'm believing what the world has to offer as a source of comfort, as a source for joy, as a source for happiness. Instead of knowing the truth, holding on to the truth, and being God's disciple, and applying it to my life, and then there's freedom in that. There's freedom when you know the truth and it's applied to your life and you... They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" See, I really believe there's people maybe in this room this morning that say, "Pete, I don't get what you're talking about. I'm not enslaved to anything or anyone. I don't get what you're talking about." And that's what they were saying here. How... We've never been enslaved to anyone. We're Abraham's descendants. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." When I look at this and I think about my life and the sins that still come in, and I think, whose fault is it? It's my fault. It's nobody else's fault but mine. And see, the problem is I'm not being a disciple that I should be. I'm not holding to the truth that I should. And therefore, I'm getting bound up in that sin again. You know, I've told this story before, and I'll point it out for other people, but it applies to me. There was a guy that went to church here it's probably been close to 20 years ago now, and he smoked cigarettes, and the Lord told him to, he just bought a new pack of cigarettes, and the Lord told him to throw out the cigarettes out the window, and he's like, "But God, I just bought these." The Lord said, "Throw them out the window." And so he did. And he said from that moment on, he never craved cigarettes again. Y'all, I saw him like 10 years later. It's probably been 5-10 years ago. I seen him smoking. I said, "Hey, what are you doing? I thought you were delivered." He said, "I was, but he'd have health problems. His wife had health problems. They had some family problems. And he lifted them back up." That's an example I can share. But y'all, that's not anything different from what I've done in my own life. God's delivered me from things. I mean, no temptation, no nothing. And I've had times that just one little thing will come back in and I've opened up the door and all at once, I'm enslaved again. I'm bound up again. You know how many times I've fasted for stuff and been set free, and then a few months later, 6 months later, a year later, I'll pick it back up. And the second time, it's a lot harder than the first time. And the third time's a lot harder than even the second time. We say we're not enslaved. I have been. I'm not pointing out fingers at anyone else. It's reality of the sins that we face in our life. I'm not picking on cigarettes. I'm not picking on drugs. I'm not picking on alcohol. I'm not picking on anything else because I know what Pete Rose struggles with. I know the struggles that I have in my life. And you know, that's just like, Sean and the struggles that he's had and what he's done. And that's what I shared with him. I said, "Sean, what you're doing just is apparent to everybody and destroys lives. But what many of us are going through, it's secret and nobody knows but the Lord. But it's just as destructive." And see, that's the thing is when we're holding on to these things and we're allowing them in our life, we become a slave to them once again. And verse 35 says, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." How many of us have felt that free indeed before? But once again, we become enslaved. Once again, we allow something back into our life. Why? Because we're not holding to His teachings to know the truth and allowing that truth to set us free. I can't remember the story exactly, but do you guys remember? It's probably been 10 years ago. It seems like it was a doctor and his wife stopped to help the guy on the side of the road. It was on 71. And the guy was a criminal, and he pulled a gun on him and held him captive. And I think they ended up all the way in Texas. Does anybody remember that story? I don't know why I'm thinking the doctor was from Waldron or Mena, but I might be wrong. And nobody remembers that story but me. And he stopped to help him, and they held the guy held a gun to him and his wife, and they ended up, I can't remember how many hundreds of miles away. They survived. They were fine. But I was thinking about that story in relation to this, and I was thinking, how many times have you seen someone broke down on the side of the road and you felt to stop and help, or you didn't feel to stop and help? But just say you're driving down the road and you see a woman with a flat tire and you can tell she's stranded, and you say, you know what, I ought to stop and help. But if about that time someone called you and said, hey, I know about where your location is. You see that woman on the side of the road, don't stop to help her. There's five guys hiding in the ditch, all with guns, looking to rob people. What would you do? You would ride on by, wouldn't you? You might even speed up a little bit. You might even take a different way home if there was a way to avoid that situation totally, right? Because you have a knowledge that there's danger awaiting you if you stop at that location. See, when we understand God's Word, we should have a knowledge that there's danger in certain places, in certain areas, in certain locations. Does that make sense at all? And see, when we read God's Word, He gives us warning. He tells us, and not only that is, He's given us His Holy Spirit. And that's that phone call to say, don't turn on that TV program. Don't go to that website. Don't stop at that place. Don't speak back to your coworker that way. I had just last night a text message come across, and it stung. And I... and the Lord said, what are you doing? And thank God I said delete instead of send. That's the Holy Spirit warning. That can escalate into something, trying to be funny, trying to be cute, trying to get a laugh. There's no need to say that. There's no reason to do that. You think about how many times God's Holy Spirit is warning us and sending us and speaking truth. And see, when we get that truth in us, then we'll be free indeed. Then we're going to hear those warning signs. Then we're going to have that knowledge. Then as those things come today and try to enslave us and try to trap us once again, our Deliverer has come. Our Deliverer has come so that we can be set free. And so I wonder if there's anyone today that could say deep down in their heart that they need to be set free from lust. That they need to be set free from anger. They need to be set free from jealousy. Bitterness. Is there anyone here that needs to be set free from depression? There's just a spirit that you can never find joy anymore. Is there anybody here that needs to be set free from approval? I would think that would be real high up on the list, because if we don't get so many likes, we don't get so many thumbs up or whatever it is, then all at once we're I gotta post something else. I gotta say something else. I gotta add something else, because we want that approval. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, Christ has set you and me free this morning. But how many of us go back, and we go back, and we go back, and because we are tempted by the world, we are tempted by Satan. It made me think of the Israelites in Exodus 16. And here they've been taken out of slavery, out of Egypt. Some of you this morning, you've been set free from whatever it is, the lust, the anger, the bitterness, the jealousy, the approval, whatever it is, you've been set free. But just like I've done before with things in my life, just like my friend had done with the cigarettes, and we look back and we want to pick it back up again. In Exodus 16, verse 2 and 3, In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. You know, when you begin to live for Jesus, there's times that it's going to feel like a desert. There's times that it's going to hurt. And it's the growing pains. It's the transition pain of saying, I'm leaving behind my old life. Many of y'all know my testimony and how I like to party and I like to run around and I had a group of friends and that's all we wanted to do was do stupid stuff and then I got saved and then one of my buddies was getting married and I go to the bachelor party and all I did was get made fun of all night because I wasn't participating in what everybody else was participating in and I was a new Christian and y'all, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun, and sometimes you're being led out, and then you're looking back at your old life going, is this really worth it? My friends have abandoned me. The guys at work, they won't talk to me anymore. The women don't call me on the gossip line no more. And life was so much easier back before. We don't understand that sin leads to death and destruction for all eternity, though. It might be fun for a minute, but that enslavement. I'm going to go back up to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. As I was thinking about this and I was thinking about the sin that so easily entangles us. See, the sin that entangles me easily is different than the sin that might entangle Adam or Susie or Peter or Charles or Keaton or Matt. We're all susceptible to different things. And only you can answer and only you can know the areas in your life that you may struggle with, the areas of your life that Satan knows how to push your button. But it says to throw those things off and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, the key in all this is fixing our eyes on Jesus. It says the race marked out for you. My niece is here this morning, and many of y'all know Megan, and she ran cross country all through high school, and then in college ran cross country and everything, but you know, I don't know about in college, but I think it's the same, but in high school when they run cross country out here, they have a guy on a four wheeler that leads the pack. Cause they're taking them out through the woods and out, it's cross country, you know, they're taking them out, and why do they do that? Because those runners need to fix their eyes on something out in front to know the path that they're to go. Now, I know at least once, maybe more than once, Megan missed the course and got off track a little bit. And it cost her some time. And then she get back on the course where she needed to. Y'all, how many of us in our life have gotten off track a little bit? We've gotten off course because we've lost focus of who's leading us. Does that make sense at all this morning? He says we fix our eyes on Jesus. We run with perseverance the race marked out for us. See, God has something marked out for your life that's so unique and so different and so wonderful and so awesome, but it's different from the course that I'm on. It's different than the course that Mitzi's on. It's different than the course that Debbie's on, that Candy's on. It's unique for you. But when we run, we keep our eyes focused upon Jesus so that we can fulfill what He has in store for each and every one of us. Why? Because our Deliverer has come. Our deliverer has come. Our deliverer has come to make a way so that we can shake off those sins that so easily entangle us, that we can run with perseverance. That means when we're tired, that means when we're worn out, that means that when we feel like we can't run no more, we continue on and we continue on and we continue on. And I'll keep picking on Megan for just a minute because Megan, when she would be home on winter break, when she was home on summer break, what was she doing every day? Almost every day. She's out running. Why? So when it came time for the race, she was in shape. She was ready to go. See, this is one of the things about perseverance in your life and in my life, is when times are good, you continue to run the race. So when the course gets a little bumpy, when maybe at times you might lose sight of the path, you've got the endurance to continue on and you don't stop. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Isaiah 43:18-19. This was a verse several years ago that the Lord gave to me for a new year. And it's really stuck with me. And it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." How many of us are enslaved to our past? We're ashamed of what we've done. We're ashamed of how we acted. Maybe we've been a bad husband, a bad dad. Maybe we've been a bad coworker. Maybe we've not been the wife that we should be. I don't know, but we're enslaved to the past. Just forget the things. Forget those things and how you used to be. I am doing a new thing now. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I don't want to go in super detail on all this, but maybe your heart feels like a desert this morning. Maybe you feel like a wasteland. It's a new year. It can be a new beginning because our deliverer lives. It can be something great and awesome that you've never experienced before. If we would focus our eyes upon Jesus, that He came to set the captives free, that He came to give sight to the blind this morning. So if you've been blind, if you've been lost, if you've been in captivity, in some kind of sin, and something that you feel like you can't be set free from, our Deliverer lives today. And He's come to set the captives free, and that's you, and that's me. In Colossians 3:1, and we're going to end here, it says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above." See, right there again, it's taking our eyes off of what we see and what's around us and what's taking place and who has what and who got this for Christmas and how can they afford that and why can't I have that? I work hard. Meh, 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 meh. We set our eyes on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. See, right there, there's so much. I got to finish, but when Christ, who is your life, is Christ your life this morning? Or is He just a Sunday morning Christ? Is He a 2-minute devotional throughout the week kind of Christ? Or do you study this Word? Do you hear sermons? Do you read devotionals? And then you say, "God, help me to live that out. Through Your power, through Your strength, through Your might, I want my life to be hidden in You. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming." You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its Creator. Today our Deliverer lives. And He lives for you and He lives for me. And I can do nothing on my own. I can't. I've tried. And I can look back at my old life and I can say, oh man, those guys are having, you know, last night I was talking to some of the people. You know what I was doing at midnight? I was sleeping until my neighbor started shooting fireworks off and it woke me up. I mean, that boy, I was partying hard last night. I mean, it was exciting. The old me, That wouldn't have been what I was doing. Y'all, where's your life at today? Have you experienced the delivering power of Jesus Christ? And if you have, has there been something that's creeped back in and entangled you once again? Today is the day you can begin a new year and a new you, and it's all made possible through Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you admonish, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's all stand. And I normally don't ever end a service this way, but I'd really like everybody to just bow their heads and close their eyes. And I don't want anybody looking around. And I just want you to begin to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I've had some struggles in my life. There's been some things creeping in, Father, that I know are not of You. Things of this world that seems to be grabbing back hold of my affection, back hold of my heart. Lord, forgive me of that. Forgive me of that this morning, Lord Jesus. And may You do something new in my life. And may it begin right now at this moment. May that old earthly nature be put to death once and for all. And where Your word says that who You set free will be free indeed, may You set each and every one of us free this morning, Lord. Set me free. And Lord, may our focus change to run the race with endurance this morning as we focus upon You and Your leading in every area of our life. Jesus, I pray this morning that each and every one of us would be set free from whatever it is that's bounding us, that we would be set free this morning and that the past would be in the past and that You'd do something new with my life, with every life in here this morning. May Your will be done now. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. I pray by faith that each one of you would grab hold of that this morning. Each one of you would grab hold of that this morning. And if it feels like you've grabbed hold of it in this afternoon, this evening, next week, whenever it is you feel like you're in a desert, you feel like tough times are coming, I encourage you to open up your Word of God. Begin to seek out whatever it is that's held you captive. Begin to find Scriptures and the truth, and the real truth, that God set us free. That we no longer have to be bound by that. And if you're really struggling and you can't find the Scriptures, you call me. You text me. You talk to someone. That this year might be like no other. That we might live for Jesus. As they play and sing, if you need prayer this morning, I'd be happy to pray with you. I was just thinking, does anybody in here make New Year's resolutions? Anyone, raise your hand if you do. I'm terrible at New Year's resolutions. I am. I've made New Year's resolutions that I didn't even make it through the new day. I mean, of the new year. I'm not any good at New Year's resolutions. I blow it every time, it seems like. And y'all, what we don't need is another New Year's resolution today. What we need is the power of Jesus in our lives. And so I pray that each one of you will take hold of that in this new year. And that things will be different. Things will be different for each and every one of us. And the way that we live, the way that we serve, the way that we seek God. I need it. I need it in my own life. Because I can get distracted just as easily as you can. Next Sunday, we will have men's meeting this Wednesday, 6:30. If anybody'd like to come next Sunday morning, normal service next Sunday night. We will be having music and communion. And so if anybody would like to come, like I shared before, a lot of us do a 21-day fast. So next Sunday night we'll be kicking that off. I've fasted from television before. I've done food. I just encourage you to pray about it and whatever you think the Lord's laid on your heart. And Bible says that everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. I will not be mastered by anything. And so if there's something that has control of your life, that might be the very thing that God's calling you to fast from and to get rid of, whether it's food or entertainment or whatever. But if you'd like to participate, I'd love for you to do it. We'll do it for 21 days. Beginning next Sunday night, and then in 3 weeks we'll have a service here where we'll break our fast together. And so, but next Sunday night, whether you're going to participate in the fast or not, we will be doing communion and have a time of worship and singing and everything. And so just wanted to give everybody a heads up. And so you guys enjoy this new year, and may God bless you.